Blog Talk Radio.
Foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rad Reality Show, and we're going to get started in a second. What a night. What a night. I am so excited about this show. A great Survivor show. Coach Wade's going to be joining us tonight.
It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is.
It all comes down to this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Slayer Radio. We'd like to thank you all for being here with us tonight on this wonderful Thursday evening. Today is May 10th, 2012, and we hope you all have had a great day. We've got an awesome show planned for you tonight, and my name is Cherry Garcia. I will be your co-host tonight, along with my friend Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
Yeah, I'm doing sure, you betcha.
Mr. Minnesota. And we have the star of our show, the host of our show, Mr. Coach Wade with us. How are you doing, Coach?
Great. Nice to talk to both of you, Cherry and Paul. Hope things are good with you.
Very good.
Yes.
Thanks.
They're going great for me, Coach. A little bit of an early start tonight.
Well, you know, tonight we have a very special two-hour edition of Dragon Slayer Radio. We could, you know, fool the audience and say that it's because the finale's coming up this weekend, so we wanted to do a two-hour special. But in reality, no pun intended, Coach has a youth orchestra concert to conduct tonight. And, of course, it's the same orchestra that played the Dragon Slayer live on the radio show several weeks ago. We normally rehearse at 6, so I had assumed that the concert tonight was going to be at 6 o'clock. And lo and behold, when the executive director of the symphony texted me tonight and said, hey, don't forget the concert at 7 and not 6, I kind of freaked out and talked to the booking person, Brenda, and said, please, can you contact everybody? Let's move it forward an hour. So that's why we're starting at 6 tonight, so that I can run off and do the concert. And anyway, so that's the preface of it. We got to get moving tonight. And so I want to just talk really quickly and introduce the first guest that we have. We have two guests tonight. and so I'll introduce the first one. Debbie was Debbie Beebe actually was on season 18. Most of you know Token Jean, and she was a cute little petite blonde-headed principal from Auburn, Alabama, that I immediately took an alliance with in the very beginning. We'll talk about that. But that's not where we met, okay? We actually met, I'll tell you a story before she comes on. I'm sitting at casting down in Los Angeles, and casting is a week long. You're in the hotel room. You can only leave to go to your meals, sometimes an hour in the gym. Most likely you don't get that hour. And so the only stimulation you get is when you're either interviewing with casting or you're looking at the other contestants. You cannot talk to anybody. You cannot talk to any of the contestants. You cannot slip them the note. But that is a lot of times where the game begins. And so I walk in the first morning for breakfast, and I see this beautiful lady. I think she's probably around 30 years old. So when I say an older lady, it doesn't mean, you know, older. But I thought she was about 30, blonde hair, dressed in beautiful clothes. And I thought, wow, this girl's like, you know, I mean, I thought, this girl's hot. I need to start, like, looking at her and flirting with her so that maybe we can get in an alliance when we get out there. Lo and behold, when we fly down there, there she is, Debbie Beebe, and we made an alliance from day one. She made it to the final six in season 18, Token Jean. Debbie, are you there?
We don't have her yet.
Yes. She's not on the line yet. Hello, Debbie.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Did you hear that glowing introduction that I just gave you?
I absolutely did. It was fabulous.
I totally appreciate it.
And I'm not a day over 30 still.
I didn't think you were. I thought that was kind of, I think you're probably maybe, you just turned 30 or maybe you're 31. That's
I'm turning 30 this year, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so welcome to the show. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great. I hope you're doing well as well.
I am. Would you please kind of confirm that first meeting story that I just told? Was it the same for you, or did you say, who's this crazy guy?
Actually, the first time when we were in interviews in Santa Monica, the first time I saw you, I believe you had on a kimono and slippers with your hair in a knot, and I said, oh, my God, who is that? I was in the glass elevator, and from then on, it was hilarious just to see every day what you would be sporting around in. If I remember correctly, you lost, like, a coat or something in one of the screenings.
I did. I wore, like, I tried to mix it up. The day that she's talking about is the day that I wore the samurai robe and had my hair up in a top knot and flip-flops on, and I had the kimono. I call it a samurai robe, but let's just be serious. It was a damn kimono that I bought in Kyoto, Japan, but I call it a samurai robe because it's just in my fantasy world that I'm thinking about there. And so I wore it because I wanted to make a big impression because, as I said last week, I noticed that the questions that they were asking me in my interviews were such that, who are you noticing? So I thought, well, heck, if they're asking me, they're asking everybody else, so I better get out there and make a big impression. And so that's why I wore that, and then I wore a jacket one day. I wore, like, a really small shirt so I could try to support my small muscles and show everybody that I worked out. And anyway, so that was how that went in casting. What did you think?
Well, you know what's really funny? Is in casting, of course I noticed you, but Tyson was always like in a tiny bikini-looking thing at the pool greasing himself up. And like you said, we can't talk to anybody. And so I thought, oh, my gosh. And the funniest thing is you two were the first people I noticed, and we had an alliance day one, you and me and Tyson.
Yep, absolutely. We had that alliance, and, you know, we stuck through a lot of people. From, you know, Aaron and Jared getting sick, and there was a lot of ups and downs, but I knew that for the most part of the game that the three of us could always count on each other. And in a game like Survivor, that's pretty nice to have that comfort.
Which is cool because what's neat is we've all taken friendships out of it, too.
Absolutely. You know, Debbie and I talked on the phone today just to catch up before the show, and, you know, she had asked if I talked to, you know, Tyson and and who else I had talked to. And there's nothing like playing it the first time. I made great friendships this last time. And, you know, but that first indelible impression that you get stepping out there on the quote-unquote beach the first day and making those bonds was pretty epic, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there isn't a day that goes by that I do not think of the game and people in it. Absolutely. And I think that was kind of unique with our season is, as I've watched previous seasons, it doesn't seem that the bonds are there as much. We all blindsided and voted each other out, but, you know, that's part of the game. And I still think that we took a very unique friendship out of the game. And, you know, as you know, I was going through a divorce when I got home. And the people that were calling were all of you top, you know, our top eight that were so close.
Yep, that's true. I agree. It was, you know, part of the bonding early on, our season started out at the listener remembers, or if they care to go back and reference that first episode, our season started out with us getting more gear off the truck. It started out like One World did, where you had to, like, grab all the gear. But what they didn't tell us is that we then had to hike. We didn't know if it was 30 minutes, an hour. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It was like a six-hour brutal hike in 120-degree temperature with all of our clothes on, and we got so much stuff that we had just literally hundreds of pounds of gear that we had to transport 6 hours of a hike to get to our camp. And talk about bonding, that really, just going through that together, remember that experience, how bonding it was?
Oh, my gosh, it was. And, you know, at there were points in that hike that I know that you and I were talking. I was like, God, my legs are numb, you know. And, of course, you don't want to look weak that early in the game. And the heat was getting to us. I lost toenails. I still have a scar on my shoulder from carrying those poles. They really didn't show how difficult that first hike in was.
That's correct. It looked like it was like 5 minutes.
Right.
We have another one of your guests on the switchboard, one that I think you were sort of expecting at the last moment.
I do think so, yeah. Just really quickly, let's interject, and then all three of us can talk. Debbie, I believe on the line is, from this season, a very rare opportunity to talk to the one and only, the mighty Troy Zan. Are you there, Troy Zan?
I'm here. I don't know about the one and only mighty, but I'm definitely here. It's great to talk to you, Coach.
I got to tell you, man, that you were – this season was an incredible run for you. And if I were to say I want to talk to one person from this season and one person only, it would definitely be you. You made an impact from the very beginning. My wife was like, wait, that guy's – I mean, I know it's what all of America says. This guy's what? He can't be 50. He's got to be like – 35, and boy, what? But man, like, seriously, what a great run that you had. I was really pulling for you at the end. I'm amazed. There's two people playing the game this season. One of them is Kim. One of them was you. Everybody else just happened to be a bunch of lemmings. What was it like for you to watch the guys' destruction as they just, I mean, I couldn't believe that they didn't see the end so near.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it's tough to watch it back because you know as well as I do, it's like, you know, by the time you're finished filming and then you come home, you've got all these months to kind of somewhat forget about what happened, and you don't see all the, you know, confessionals and behind-the-scenes stuff, and then all of a sudden it's right back in your face and you're like right back on the island. So there were some real tough parts for me to watch, you know. It's just because I was dealing with, you know, what I called knuckleheads out there, because they just weren't grasping what I was trying to present to them, you know, especially the people that were at the bottom. And, you know, the thing with it, you know, and a lot of people keep asking me about this, you know, the Men and Women Alliance, you know, like, what happened to the men, what happened to the men? I mean, really, at the merge, it really never was men versus women at that point anyway. I mean, Mike, Tall Mike, he decided he was going to go with the women no matter what. You know, I mean, Ed found that out later. He was basically switched over at the merge. The same with Jaybird, you know, which I didn't realize, because obviously he was going to go with Kim and Chelsea because he was kind of smitten with Kim. And that proved out when he, you know, kind of stabbed me in the back when I told him about the hidden immunity idol, which I trusted him really, you know, I'd say 90%, you know, at that point. So it was tough to watch back some parts. But, you know, overall, I'm fairly satisfied. I mean, I played as hard as I could. I played 100% all the time, which maybe it's probably, in hindsight, bad to play 100% all the time. But, you know, it was my first time out. I've been wanting to get on this show for 11 years, and I'm a diehard fan. And so the overall experience has been really great.
And so who was probably I will just say this again, just because we've talked about it the whole time on the show. Why, I don't understand. It was crazy how people on the bottom could not comprehend what was going on. And you laid out such wonderfully thought out and logical plans. They just didn't get it. Were they just totally confident of their situation in, quote unquote, life on Survivor?
I'm not sure if it was that or if it's like, I've come to find out that people for the most part live out there, like they're in fear. They wanted to, and whatever they want to do to make themselves feel comfortable, they'll stay that way. And I'd say that the majority of the players that, you know, got to the merge were not playing to win. They were playing just to stay around for like the next day or, you know, the next hour. They weren't really thinking like, I want to win. And if I can just stay here, I feel safe. You know, Kim is making me feel safe. And it's kind of like a microcosm of society. You know, no one wants, you know, everyone wants to stay in the same house, the same job, the same everything, because they feel safe that way. They're afraid to step outside and then take a chance.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
right.
And to really kind of, to win this game, you kind of have to you have to take somewhat of a chance. You have to get outside that fear. And Kim was very good at saying, like, I'm the mother hen. I know everything about this show. You guys have been following me since, you know, day one. Don't worry. Everything's fine. And women have a way of bonding like that, that they will trust her even if she did the most dastardly thing. So, and it's different with men and women because men, as you know, we have egos that get in the way. And most of the men are like, they're not going to want to follow anybody. They'll be like, well, that's a good idea, but I have my own ideas. Just like Jay. You know, Jay, I thought, was on board with me somewhat, and he wasn't, you know, because he was definitely going to go at some point, you know, with the girls, and he didn't see that you know, the girls were, you know, conniving in the corner, that I saw it right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just by the questions I asked Kim Chelsea point blank, are you voting me out tonight? And they both said no. I could read it in their eyes, and I asked Chelsea, and you can't see it on the TV. But I said, you know, are you voting me out? And she goes, no. I said, swear on your father's life. And she goes, well, I can't do that. And I go, ding, ding, ding. It's like, okay, yeah, I know what's going on. So that's what I knew. I said, I'm going home. So,
yeah.
You know, and I had sensed that before, though. Your senses come out pretty well out there. So
sure.
I was doing everything in my power to talk to Christina, who was at the bottom, who knew she was at the bottom. I was talking to Alicia, Tarzan, and Leaf. At one point, I just thought it made perfect sense. You guys all know you're going home one by one, and it's, you know, I'm gonna go, then Leaf's gonna go, and then Kat's gonna go, and Tarzan. My predictions are kind of coming true, so I feel a little bit better about that. But it's like, you know, they just couldn't see it. It's like I was frustrated as the viewers were. Believe me,
they had the perfect opportunity to turn things around right when you said that they could, but they just didn't see it, or they wouldn't do it.
Well, it was tough because, for one, what I found out in hindsight, you know, and actually what the viewers found out last week, Tarzan really wasn't playing to win. All he wanted to do was stay so that he could see his wife. So he made a deal, like, with the women, like, listen, I don't care what it takes. I just want to stay here, and if you guys want me to vote, whatever way you want me to do, I'll do it. He was so stubborn, he was not even going to listen to me, not even close. When I was telling him, listen, you can be at five and see your wife for sure. I mean, Tarzan, do you grasp this? But he got this stubbornness about him that wasn't going to budge, you know, and I've talked to him outside of the game, and he kind of remarked, goes, oh, my God, Troy, goes, why did I listen to you? What was wrong? And Kat has said the same thing. So I guess it makes me feel a little bit better that at least people, you know, that watched the show and that the contestants that I played with watched it and agreed with me, so I feel a little bit better.
Yeah,
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall at Ponderosa when Tarzan got there and seen his, you know, his welcoming at Ponderosa, because I don't think he got a very welcome invitation at the Ponderosa when he first got there.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I can imagine that. I actually said that last night. One of the things that you know, I really appreciated about Troy Zan's arguments were that a lot of times when you're making arguments, it's either the appearance is either out of desperation or the appearance is, you know, that you are scrambling. And the fact that it was so calm and laid out, it just was really surprising that people didn't grasp that. I would have aligned with you in the very beginning. I would have stuck with you the whole way. That's, you know, that's the kind of player that I am. But I really appreciate it. I know Debbie is on the line. And, Debbie, just tell us a little bit your thoughts on this season and then throw Troy Zan a question.
No, I have to tell you, Troy Zan, I watched and I was like, what is, just like what you guys are saying, what is wrong with everybody? Why aren't they listening to him? And you could see, you know what I liked is you could see your passion for the game and you were really out there to play the game and to win. And you did everything you could. I don't understand why they didn't see it either. I really didn't. I guess my question is, how did Colton, me being from Alabama, you know, JT and I were from Alabama, and JT won our season.
Right.
But how did Colton infiltrate the guys and get you guys to go ahead and vote off one of the men instead of the women in that event?
Well, you know, I've been asked this question quite a few times as well. And
I'm sure you have.
I've been asked about Colton, you know, right and left. Like, how could Colton lead you guys in this net? I mean, Colton really wasn't leading us. He never led me. I mean, it really was. Colton, you know, looked like a scared little puppy in the beginning of the game. And I made an alliance with him. So he was a number for me. Like, he was in a five-guy alliance. And I thought, okay, it's a number to get me to, you know, point A to point B. And if Colton's going to turn out to be a real jerk, that's even better for me because obviously he's not going to get any votes.
Sure.
So what had happened in the very beginning, all the big, you know, frat boys, the Roosters, they got together. It was Matt, Mike, Jay, and Bill. And if Colton was on the verge of going with those guys. And if they would have done that, I would have been the first guy gone. So Bill was really against me. And so when they got into that argument and all that chaos started, which I had never even seen, I was out in the ocean with Tarzan spearfishing, so I can't, you know, speak as far as, like, I didn't know he was such a, you know, bigot and some of the racist things that he was doing. I wasn't aware of that. But what happened is that, you know, when he presented, hey, let's get rid of Bill tonight, Bill was against me at some point, you know, and he was going to vote against me the next time around anyway. So for me, it seemed like, what does it matter whether it's now or 3 days later, which, you know, obviously is in a week in television time. But, like, you know, if we lost again or if we merged with the women, Bill was going to do what he could to go with the women. Like, anybody that wasn't in that original five-guy alliance, which was me, Tarzan, Jonas, Leaf, and Colton, they always felt that they were at the bottom. Like Mike. You know, Tom Mike, when we merged, he wasn't going to have anything to do with the guys. And so I thought the same for Bill. So logically, I said, you know, it made sense. Like, why would I have someone that's going to always be against me anyway? I mean, okay, I can do a lot of, in hindsight, well, Bill might have changed his mind and Colton didn't get sick and blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to look at it that way. So that's why I did. That's why I followed it, you know. And I mean, you know, if I look at the way the things turned out, sure, it's easy to say, like, well, you screwed up, you lost a man, because now all the women are just, they took over and they took out the guys. So, you know, it's
well,
tough.
We did that, too. We voted out one of our tribe members, and we were way up. I mean, that was our first stupid move. Wouldn't you agree, Coach?
Well, no, because we voted out
Brandon. Brendan.
Right.
I gotta say this. That wasn't a stupid move because we had to vote him out because if we hadn't voted him out, they would have voted me out because, remember, he was trying to sway JT and Steven.
That's right. And then they blindsided Tyson. Yeah.
Our stupid move was getting out because it was getting rid of Sierra. And, of course, at that point in the time, Troy Zan, I had no idea how to play the game. I mean, it took me close to 100 days before I learned how to play the game half as good as you did strategically. But, you know, like, seriously, for me, I mean, I was so stupid. And that time when we voted out Sierra, that's when we should have, like, gotten rid of Taj or, Steven or JP or something.
It's always tough to look back and say, like, well, I could have done this, I should have done. I mean, we all do it. We all say, well, I could have done this, and this, if this would have happened, this should have happened. So I try as best as I can to stay away with that, because I'll drive myself crazy, because you don't know how many times I've gone through, I should have, could have, would have.
Oh, yeah, we all have. Hey, Troy, then, is all the jury just kind of taking it real personally right now? Like, I noticed you flashed a pretty sign last night. Kat called everybody a bitch. I mean, is everybody, like, on the jury just taking it real personally and just totally pissed?
Well, I mean, I'd say not every – Jonas isn't. Mike is. Jay is kind of laid back. I'm just kind of – I'm in a way kind of just toying with the jury, because I want them to think that I'm still in the game, that I have control of, like, the whole jury. So I come in staring down Kim like, you know, like some evil
Right. We do that with Steven.
And it's kind of a joke in a sense, because it's like we go back to Ponderosa and the guy's like, dude, how did you not keep your eyes off her? It was insane. Like, you never even flinched. It's like we start laughing about it. But it's like, you know, I'm just playing a game with them, and, you know, I'm out of the game. But I want to let them know that I'm, you know, I'm a vote. I'm in the jury.
True.
You know,
that's
you
true.
Guys betrayed me. And I'm not just going to sit back and, you know, I'm a competitor. I'm not a spoiled sport, but I'm also going to be like, you know, I'm a tough person. I'm not just going to take it, you know. I mean, it's like I feel like I want to be, you know, people that myself, I'm very passionate about the game. And so if I lost, I'm still going to, for me to say I'm happy, I would be lying, because I wanted to win. So I still was a bit mad at that point. Like I was still upset. And I felt like I had the right to be upset, because I went to play to win. So, you know, that was
agreed.
You know, wearing,
well, you know, we used to do that at Ponderosa, and I bet a lot of the fans don't know that too. We would sit as a jury and say, okay, who are we going to stare at tonight? Who are we going to intimidate? And it's funny. And then you get back and you laugh, because you know, and they wouldn't look at you. And we did the same.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, and then after you're there for a few days, you start to settle down a little bit more, and, you know, it's like Kat came back to Ponderosa distraught. I mean, she hated Kim. She was like, I hate all those bitches, and I can't stand it. It's like she wanted to go, she goes, I'm going to go jump in the ocean and die. I mean, she was really just, I mean, I grabbed her and, like, just held her and said, listen, it's all right. I get where you're coming from, because I just went through the same thing. So, she was sad, and it, you know, but it does settle down at Ponderosa a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, Troy, then, let me ask you this, kind of changing tack a little bit. What was one of your funniest, like, what was one of the funniest moments? Maybe you didn't make it to the past the cutting room floor, but what was, like, one of the most funnest moments that you had out there?
I'd say, you know, even though Bill was against me, I had a good relationship with Bill. Like, he's a funny guy. I mean, out there, you know, he is a comedian, but he would do these little skits, and he could quote any movie, and he'd, you know, say something like from Braveheart or some, you know, like, or he, and he would try to sing the theme song to Survivor, and it was hilarious, because he would start this singing, and I don't know, the simplest things out there made me laugh, because, you know, obviously there's nothing else out there to do except entertain yourselves with each other. And so I would make him sing the song all the time, just so that I could laugh to get away from the stress. So, you know, he starts to sing his, and he's like, oh, my God, Bill. And he'd go off key for, on purpose. And I just would lose it. I mean, I know it sounds stupid. I hope to God that Jeff at the finale makes him sing this, because I will lose it, because it's just so bad that it makes me laugh. So that was pretty funny stuff. I mean, there's a lot of antics that go on. I mean, Tarzan was, you know, doing a lot of crazy stuff, but he just does do crazy stuff for the cameras. He knows that the camera's on this. So some of this stuff is, like, you know, a little bit contrived, but he was pretty funny out there as well. It's like, there's a video and a secret scene that didn't make the regular show, and it's about me talking about how, you know, how goofy and dumb my castmates are, and it's on the Survivor website. So I think it's just, like, one of my last seasons. It's like Troy Hidden scene. It plays the hillbilly music, and it shows, like, you know, Kat talking, like, out of her mind, Tarzan talking about a bug, and I I'm saying, like, I think he's from some other planet, and I talk about, you know, like, I think Cat opens up a coconut and the 10,000 maggots fall out of it, and they all go crazy screaming, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm living with a bunch of kooks here. So, and Alicia's trying to ride. Alicia's trying to ride the pig, and Sabrina's dancing. And I'm like, I said, we have to be one of the dumbest casts of all time. So it's a pretty funny video if you guys want to check it out.
We'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Coach, we have your third guest on the switchboard. If you'd like me to bring her up as well.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll give her, just wrap up with these guys, and then I'll give her an intro, and then we'll get to her. Debbie, do you have any last comments out there? Anything about our season, funny moments, anything else that you want to share? I definitely want to have both of you guys on another time where it's not like this, where we can just take a long time to just really kind of get into things. Anything else though, Debbie?
No, I mean, the only thing I just would say is, to me, it was truly a gift to get to play, and to get to play with the cast that we played with. Like I said, we're all still very good friends. I feel like I could, you know, lean on anybody today, even at least our top eight. And Survivor truly changed my life. It gave me the courage to get out of a situation I need to get out of. And it's just an amazing experience. It's fun to watch. And it is easy to sit on this side and say, why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? Because we did it with our season, of course, too. But it was a pleasure talking to you, Troy-Zanne, and I'm enjoying the season. I'm anxious to see the finale. You guys are going to have a blast at the finale. We certainly did.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah. It's good to be on the same line with you.
Yeah, and Coach, good to talk to you as well, and you guys have a great night.
Thank
Love
you,
you
so
pieces,
much, Debbie.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Troy-Zanne, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. There is so much more that I would love to talk to you about, but we will have to save that for another time. I do have just one thing when we talked about those regrets, and I don't want to get you thinking that way again, you know, because it's funny, this last time when I thought I had won the $1 million, and so after the finale, it was like it took me so long to kind of lick my wounds, and I would just get to the point, I'm talking about like 2 months afterward, I would just get to the point where I was like, you know what, I played the best game I could have, I'm okay with it, that somebody would meet me somewhere in an airport and just say, Coach, you should have won, man, you should have won, and then it was like all start again. So I don't really want to start that with you, but I have two more questions for you. So the first one is, would you have gone back and done a little bit worse at those first challenges after the merge?
At the merge, would I have slowed down a little bit? Is that the question? Kind of like it wouldn't have gone full 100%?
Yeah, and felt like at this point in the game.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, I'd say no. Like at the merge, I felt super safe. And that first challenge was so bizarre to win because I really didn't feel like I was going to. But there was something in me that said, you know, when it came down to three, I'm like, I can win the first immunity. Like, this is going to be crazy. Like, I've been waiting so long to do this, to win an immunity, like an individual one. I just, there's something in me that just took over. It's like, it's my competitive nature. And the thing I would have done that I did regret was that I would have probably called out Kim and Chelsea in front of everybody a little bit more and not be so hidden. I would have just, you know, how you sit around the campfire and everybody's there. Or what
right.
I would have said, listen, you people all, I want you to hear this right now. I want to say it in front of Kim. And I wanted to, and I should have done that more because I never really made Kim, you know, like as nervous and to scramble as much as I could have. So I looked back at that and said, you know, I should have, you know, what else could I have done? Like I say to myself, could you try a little harder? So I like, yeah, I probably could have really just hounded on Kim like just as 24 hours a day. And I didn't do that. And I wish I would have done that. And I probably didn't realize, here's the one key mistake was that fact that I didn't realize how much power I had when I won that first individual immunity challenge, that everyone was kind of like, what do you want me to do, Troy? And I wouldn't have voted out Jonas. I wouldn't have went with the group. The group that I trusted wanted Jonas out, and I thought, you know, if I try to ruffle these people's feathers and say, no, I don't want that, we're not doing that, they're going to kick me out next. I'll be voted out next if I don't go with them. So I said, okay, I'll go with you guys. I'm going to show you how much that I trust you. I'm kicking out the guy that I made an alliance with on day one just to show you how much faith I have in you.
Yep,
it obviously
yep.
didn't work in Survivor, and you know how it goes. I mean, people will lie and they'll be deceitful. It's part of the game. So I would have changed that.
Coach,
so
I just
right,
spoke
but,
with your next guest, and she would like to actually ask Troy Zan a question before he leaves. So if you wouldn't mind me bringing her
sure.
up, is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually have two more questions for Tarzan. But I will say this, that I want to introduce the next guest. But Tarzan, you're not going anywhere. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so but I want to just really quick just to introduce her. She was on season 8 of Vanuatu and also on Micronesia. She actually had a profound impact on me playing the game. I don't know if she realizes this. She had a very important impact because the very first season I watched of Survivor, obviously I've gone back and watched the other seasons, was Vanuatu. And when I watched her get up and say, we're going to have this strong women's alliance, which I'm thrilled for this year. But when she said that, I said to myself, holy crap, this is something that I'm going to have to look out for. So the first day I stepped out onto that beach, I was sitting there thinking, there are going to be players out here that are as strong as an intelligent and as intelligent as this girl is. So I've got to watch my back. But anyway, so, you know, she
do I get,
definitely
do I get a guess?
Major.
Do I get a guess who this is?
Absolutely. Do you want to make a guess who it is?
I think it's Amy.
Oh, you are such a stud. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Coach. I feel really lucky to be here. And Troyzan, I love you. I wish you would have kept your, like, outburst a little bit more in control and been like, listen, I'm a stallion. You ladies need to keep me around just because I'm quiet and gentle and kind. But you went the opposite route and went like, I'm king of the world. And that's kind of, I think might have offended the girls just a little bit. Had you, like, kept it under wraps, the way that Chris won it was, he's like, I'm going to let the girls fight it out. Let the girls fight. Go for it, ladies. I'm just going to sit back and be cool. And he won. He won by being quiet, by doing really absolutely nothing and doing everything behind the scenes. And when you were, like, screaming and pounding your chest, the girls were like, oh, Lord. And that just, I was so sad because I love you so much as a character, and you were so great. And I was bummed when you got voted out.
I know there was
no
something about being backed up against the wall that just, you know, that just took over in my system, and
yeah.
I didn't like their smugness and cockiness, which really didn't show as much on TV as what was happening, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I was like a buildup of, like, you know, I wanted them.
Can you imagine?
I just wanted them to know that they were not
going
to be. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, it's like, you know, you really, you know,
no,
and I
Chris
was
said it
completely.
Was hell.
Yeah, brutal.
I'll tell you,
when
I thought.
Had you just toned it down a little bit, and had Tarzan just toned it down a little bit, he would have lasted longer. Just been quiet. Like, let the girls fight it out. They'll fight it out on their own. Because, I mean, really, Kim would have, like, thrown herself under the bus by letting one of the girls go under, and it would have happened, and they would have tested her, and she would have been thrown under the bus, and that's what happened to me. But you, if you would just have been quiet, I was like, Tarzan, just be quiet, just quiet, quiet, quiet. The girl's like a gentle, kind man, and you would have been, like, all the way.
There was something in me that just wanted to intimidate them so bad that I really, at that point, was like, you know what? And it's probably also to my demise that I thought for sure I was going to win every immunity. I really felt out there like I can win everything. I can win it out. I really can. And I stopped actually strategizing as much, which I just quit, you know, because it just turned into like, okay, just win the challenges and you're going to win this, maybe the greatest run in history, and you have the chance to be, you know, known as one of the best if this works out. So that's kind of why I just went nutty. And yeah, sure. I mean, I was talking to Coach before, like, in hindsight, it's easy just to go, well, I could have done this, and I should have done this, and I wish, but, you know, maybe I wouldn't have been known as Troyzan if I didn't go crazy and shown
how
much of a competitor I was.
So many men have so many people, not just men. I'm not going to, like, separate the genders now, but so many people have respect for you for just being you. But at the same time, you're playing for $1 million. Why not just, like, set you aside for a second, and it's all hindsight now, but set you aside for a second and go for that $1 million. So many people respect you for not doing that. And I respect you for not doing that. But at the same time, like, I would have, just to make myself feel better, I would have loved had you just sat back and been like, I'll be cool. Whatever. Whatever you guys want. Girls are in control now. Fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, you want a pedicure? I'll give you a sand pedicure.
I totally knew. I knew, Troy Zan, that you were in trouble when you said, you know, this is my island. I was like, oh, man. And then the time that you turned your back on the challenge, it reminded me of a soccer game that I coached back when I was a really young coach and my team was doing something stupid. And I actually walked to the fence and turned my back on the team. It was bad. But when you did that, it reminded me of that time. And I was just like, oh, no, this might be one step too much.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
When I turned my back to that challenge, at this point, I knew personally, like, I'm done. It's over for me. My survivor experience is gone. But then I thought, you know what? These people still, there's a chance that they think I have an immunity idol. They're really not that dumb. They think that I do. So you better not act too down, like, really kind of like, you know, pick yourself back up a little bit. But at that point, it was too late. But like, I couldn't watch it. I couldn't see it. Right. You know, I know it's bad survivor play, but it's like that one. Right. It's just me. And really, you know, when it comes down to it, everybody that knows me, my family and friends, it's like, they're like, wow, Troy, like, you were really 100% you out there. I mean, what you saw,
right,
that's who I am. You know, 100%.
Yeah.
It's like everything that I am inside came out. And, you know, I'm really, that's me. So
you got to do,
you
know,
I have
you
to ask you, do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a girlfriend, Troy, then?
No, I don't. I wish I'd like to have one.
Exactly.
<I don't.
laughs>
Wait, are we
now? Right now, I'm
single. You will find a powerful woman that celebrates exactly who you are. I know you will. Like, there will be women knocking down your door like, that is a true man. But at the same time, that like, display of who you were, like, was your demise. Was
yeah,
your absolute
that's
demise.
That's
and
a,
I'm sad for
a, that's a true man who didn't win a million.
So, all right.
We have a caller with a question for Amy and Troy Zan. I don't know if you want to take a caller question tonight.
Actually, no. I definitely want to take lots of callers. As most people know, the show usually goes from 7 to 8. Pacific time. I've got a youth orchestra concert that I've got to conduct, so I've got to leave in 3 minutes. I think if you want to stay, and let's have those calls for after I get off the phone, because I do have a couple of questions. Just really quickly, I'll start with Troy Zan, and then I'll go to Amy, because Amy, I've got so much I want to tell you, and again, at another time where we can just have a whole half hour to ourselves. I had written down like 10 questions that I wanted to ask you. But anyway, Troy Zan, I want to know what your top five survivors of all time are over the years, since you're a big fan.
I would have to say I've always liked Richard Hatch just because he started the whole thing. I have to say Richard.
Uh-huh.
I have to say Sandra, because she's won it twice, and I've talked to her, and she just seems like very intelligent, even outside the game. She's just there's something about her that knows a lot about this game. I can't put a finger on the word, but she seems highly intelligent about this game. I'd say her. who are my other three? You've moved up there. I'd say your coach is probably, you're probably six.
You're not allowed to say my name anyway. I asked the question. You can't say my name anyway.
Okay,
well,
I mean,
that.
I wanted you to know that you're close.
Okay,
if you would have won, I'd probably say you're in there.
Okay.
I enjoy. Who else did I enjoy? This is tough. There's just so many. I like Poverty.
Uh huh.
Really? Wait. Why do you like Poverty?
I kind of like the way she played. I mean, just
okay,
just from
a brilliant
from,
player.
Just from
but,
out,
hold
just
on,
an,
keep going. Keep going.
Just from
keep
an
going,
outside.
And Amy, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Just an outside. I mean, this
okay.
is just. I mean, I don't. I've never spoken. I don't know her at all. Just through what I saw on TV.
Okay. You got another one for us?
Who else? I liked. I'm going through each season like right now. So I'm going like one.
Did you like anybody else on season 23, the last one before you?
I mean, I liked Ozzy in the first two. I have to admit, I did like Ozzy. I didn't like him. I didn't like him in South Pacific. I really didn't like him in South Pacific. Not really at all. He like dropped out of mine. I mean, you said if I liked him, but he's not in my top five.
Okay, I'll take that as a.
He dropped out for some reason. I don't know. He dropped out. Just there's something that just didn't sit right with me
season. Let me get to Amy really quick. So Amy, strong, powerful woman. I love strong, powerful women. I really respect the way that you play it. I respect the way you come on here and you just kind of own it. You know, you led your tribe from the beginning the first time. I love that. I respect that. And so we're gonna play a word association game. I'm gonna tell you the name of a survivor and just give me one line, honest opinion of what you think. Good or bad. Let's start with Ozzy, since that name was just mentioned. Ozzy.
Okay, I love Ozzy. He's super fun to play the game with because he taught me a lot. But overall, in life, like, he bores me. In life, he bores me. In the game, he belongs on an island and not in society. Period. Okay. Next.
Okay. Okay. Russell.
Who?
Russell.
Russell, if I ever get to play the game with that guy, I might probably try and kill him. I might probably try
so the word
murder
would be
him.
Murder.
I've met him. Murder. Yeah, I've met him a few times. I've slapped his face as hard as I've slapped anyone in my life. I hate him.
Love
he
it.
Is
hey.
A... Yeah. Okay, next.
A swift kick to the middle. Yeah.
Amanda,
beautiful, really nice to cuddle with, but... though I dumb as a box of rocks. Next.
Wow.
we're going to do this again. We're going to have a whole 30 minutes of me just asking you people's names. This is classic.
I want that.
I knew that you would tell us straight. How about the Dragon Slayer? What do you think about that guy?
Okay, Dragon Slayer. I have to be honest with you. The first like few times that I saw you, I'm like pretentious character that I don't really want to know more about, but then after I met you at the 10-year, I was like, interesting person that has like a really in-depth soul that I could have good conversations with on the beach at night and like talk about life.
That's right. That's very good. Who are your top five?
I have to say, like, people might get mad at me about this, but Johnny Fairplay is brilliant. Johnny Fairplay is one of the most... I could kill him for quitting in Fans versus Favorites because he ruined my entire game. Love Johnny Fairplay because he is so into the game and so into his character. I love him. James, because he is gorgeous and fun. He has no game, but he is so fun to play the game with. I love Danielle, who won whatever one she won just because she's a strong, athletic woman. Richard Hatch, because he's honest and brutal. Sandra, because she's funny. She's so brutally honest and funny. She calls it like it is, and she's won the game twice. Like, if you've won the game twice, you get it. You understand and you completely get it. Parvati, I have to say I love hate Parvati at the same time. I love her because she's fun. You play on the island. She makes you feel all the time like she cares about you and she wants you to be safe and happy. But I hate her at the same time because she beat me and because, like, she's so much. It's like, stop being so much. Like, just be a normal person. But she is so much fun to play the game with. But I would have to say overall, Sandra's my favorite because she's brilliant. She is absolutely brilliant. To win this game twice, to play it as many times as she has and just been it, she's done it.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
Brilliant player.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, I got to run. Amy, Troy Zan, thank you so much for being on the show. Cherry Paul,
don't
appreciate
go anywhere.
It. I'm going to go conduct a concert.
Troy Zan and Amy, you're welcome
enjoy.
To stay with us.
If you want to send some callers in, I'll answer a few questions.
Yeah,
great.
I can stay for like another maybe 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you so much. We've got a caller that's been waiting for a while now that wants to ask you a question. Adrian, thank you so much for holding for a while. You've got Amy and Troy Zan on the line. You're welcome to ask your question.
Well, for Troy, then, I just want to let him know I really liked his play, and I would have liked to have seen it come down between Troyzan and Kim for the final this time. Because I think Troyzan, I love his personality. I think you're a great person. And in spite of what you said about women doing things to men initially when you were off camera, when they just interviewed you, I thought that was a little weird, but I think you're an awesome guy.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize for the woman comment. You know, I was really angry and tired, and you know, they had just gotten to me. So it's like sometimes I want to let people know,
they describe me. I've got the, you know, I'm as tenacious as a pit bull, as cuddly as a porcupine, as ill-tempered as a snapping turtle, with the memory of an elephant. And boy, I remember everything, mostly. Except now I've seen so many seasons of this, I get them all muddled together. You know, it's hard to keep them separate. It's like a pish-posh of who's who. I don't know. But I'm glad you played. I'm glad you made the jury, at least that far. But I would have loved to have seen you play further. I really would have.
Thank you.
I think you're an awesome player, and I think you're a nice guy.
I don't think it would have ever come down to Troy and Kim, though, because we were against each other. So one of us was going to have to go.
Well, Troy, yeah. Well, yeah, I know. But I like both. I like one for Weech. You know, we'll give dual awards out there. But I like, you know, Tarzan's a little oddball, but he was fine. My dogs are getting crazy in the background. They hear something. But anyway, for Amy, this is Adrian. I've talked to you a little bit. You know who I am. Anyway.
Hi, Adrian.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
Why did you relinquish your control in Vanuatu? Why did you relinquish your control when you had the game won, when Leanne decided that Chris should stay and little Isa had to go? Because you really had that game won up until that point.
I had the game 100% won, and it wasn't me that relinquished the game. It was Leanne. She and I had a talk in the forest, and we had the numbers perfectly figured out. I'm like, we are going to the final two. It's going to be you and me. Like, I had every number figured out. I'd been doing it since day one. I'd never seen the game before, and I was just, like, astonished that I had it figured out to the point that I did. And I was super excited. She went to scout right after we walked out of the forest, and Scout's like, so our alliance. And Leanne looks at her so confident, because we just had this conversation about how we were going to make it to the final two, and she says, oh, you're not in our alliance. And I was like, sitting right next to her, I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me that you just said that to someone when we still, like, we need these votes. Like, these votes count towards us winning.
Yeah,
you
think
just
Leanne
flat out told Scout.
Leanne,
and it was Leanne that screwed my game.
She did screw that up, but I'm saying, I mean, at that point, you needed to really go back to Eliza and get her to get rid of Scout or do something to break up that momentum.
I wasn't going to get rid of Scout. I wasn't going to get rid of Scout because my numbers were perfect, because Scout and Twyla were two votes together, and I had Julie, Leanne, and me on one side, so that was all perfect. If we got rid of Chris or Eliza, it wouldn't have mattered because we still would have had the numbers.
Yeah.
So the fact that she got Scouts to not believe in us was our downfall, was my downfall.
Yeah,
and
I hated that.
It was, I have to say it was 100% Leanne on that one.
And I don't really think Chris really won that game. He was given that game. And that's my opinion. He was given it by default. I mean, he didn't do anything special to win it other than keep his mouth shut. He really didn't.
Hey, ladies! I hate to interrupt, but I have to get going. I have a dinner arrangement or engagement, I should say, to get to.
Okay.
And I'm already
Thank you so
late.
Much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming on with us, and you're always welcome to join us here on the Rad Reality Show anytime. If you ever have anything you're promoting, you're always welcome back. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Awesome. I'd love to come back, tell Coach I had a good time, and I'll come back anytime. And I'm looking forward to Sunday, and I hope that you guys tune in, and it's going to be hopefully a good show.
We certainly will.
And had a good time.
Bye-bye. Have a great night, hon.
Troy Zan, I look forward to meeting you, and I can't wait till we actually get the hug for the first time.
Yes, Amy, I'm coming to Colorado soon. So my brother that lives there, he's coming out for the finale, so I'm definitely going to come see him soon. So when I'm out there, I'm going to look you up.
I'm super excited for it.
Okay, darling.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care.
Yeah, so,
okay.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just sorry you didn't win season, and I was bummed out when you got – I didn't get to see you get voted out in Micronesia because we had a bad thunderstorm here and the satellite dish went out, so I didn't even get to see that part. So he got knocked out.
Micronesia wasn't even a game for me. Micronesia was just kind of
terrible. It was terrible. I don't know what happened with that game with you, but it was just, you never found the people to play with or something, or I don't know.
Well, my game was over the day that Johnny Fairplay quit. Like, when that happened, my game was over. Because
yeah, but why? Because you couldn't play anyway.
It's a completely different game when you're playing with people that already know each other. Ozzy and Parvati had dated. James and Amanda were super close. The game was already over when it started, when Fairplay quit. And then when Pinner was taken out due to medical reasons,
yeah.
Like, my game was over.
I mean, I like Ozzy, except Ozzy is great in physical challenges. And he's great. He's Aquaman, okay? He's great for that, but in social game, he doesn't have it with people. I don't know how honest he is either. I think he is, but he gets persuaded by people too easily that someone's out to get him all the time. And you could have saved your own penis, though. You could have saved it. If you had turned the tables on Eric, Eric said, how much do you trust Amy? Yeah, well, you could have gone back to Ozzy and said, hey, the first one who wanted you out was Eric, and that would have gotten rid of Eric. Why didn't you think of that? I mean, you're not the type of person, apparently, to go back and try to backstab. You know what I'm saying? To save your own butt, trying to.
You know, by that point, Ozzy was too scared, and Ozzy was really scared because of my female power and girls win. It was all girls and him and Eric. So he was like, God, I got to keep a guy around. Does this feel safe?
But
he didn't feel safe with me there as opposed to Eric. And Ozzy and I were really tight during that game.
Yeah, but
he just, like, a
Eric
few times.
Didn't he know Eric was out for him initially?
Adrian?
Yeah.
We really have to kind of move this along, hon. Thank
right.
you so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
great
James.
Questions.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Amy. Thank you so much for taking so many questions from one caller.
No problem at all.
I do have a question for you, Amy. This is Paul from Minnesota. I co-host on the Rad Reality Show with Cherry, the female voice you hear. Anyway, I'm curious, strategy-wise, when do you think or how do you think Kim should use her hidden immunity idol? And is next week the last chance she has to use it?
Next week is the last chance she has to use it, but I think she shouldn't use it. Like, she has the numbers in her back pocket. Nobody tested her like, what's the word? Nobody tested her, I can't think of the word right now. Like, just her commitment to them. Nobody tested it last week. They could have tested whose side she's really on last week, and they didn't. They went with Tarzan. And so everyone thinks she's on their side. So I'd say she's safe. And
all right. Now,
I think she should keep it.
Amy, I do agree she is safe. I could not believe how many of those women on last night's episode came up to her and basically spilled the beans on all their conversations. It was evident that, you know, she is absolutely in control. But if she could use it to eliminate somebody that she's in an alliance with in a nice way and go, oops, sorry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that would work for her, though, in jury votes. I think that she should just not play it. She should let whoever's going to get eliminated and be like, oops, sorry, like, I had no control. There's so many people here. There's only one of me. I did my best. And she should keep her jury votes. Because right now, that's what she needs to do. If she played the idol, I think somebody would be like, well, you knew that there were going to be a few votes against me. And everybody's in love with her right now. Like,
right.
From what I've seen, everybody's in love with her. And what I figured out about Survivor, as long as you make decisions that make sense and you're honest about it, The thing that got me in Vanuatu is every single person I voted out, that I can completely say that I was in charge of every person that I voted out. I went to them and I said, last night, you said you were sick of this island and you don't want any more of this. So I'm voting for you tomorrow because no one else is sick of this island. Everyone else still wants to be here. So I'm voting for you and I want you to know that. And I told every single person that I was voting them out until Eliza. When everybody decided on Eliza, I love Eliza. So I was like, all right, if you guys want to vote out Eliza, fine. And then production had told me, sorry, Survivor, I have to say this, production had told me, Amy, you need to stop telling people because you're ruining the show. Well, I didn't know. I'd never seen the show. I'd never done anything like this before. So I was like, okay, well, then I guess I won't tell her. But up until then, my strategy had been be honest, be sensible, and like make sense of every vote out. And you can. People vote themselves out. You don't have to vote them out. People do things to say, I'm the next one out. They get in fights. They do stupid stuff. They say things that maybe they don't mean, but they say it at that moment. And you take them
or
for
they
it. Like,
take,
oh, you,
or they take
you can't
take
one more night of sleeping out on a beach. Go ahead.
Right, or they take somebody to a reward and piss somebody off doing
for the third time in a row.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that Kim won again was just kind of, like, ridiculous. It's like, how much ass can you kiss? Oh, Kim, you're queen of the world. I'm going to take you. It's just like, whatever. I'm whatever.
And then Tarzan, you know, just before he goes to the immunity, I mean, to the tribal council, he decides to wear Cat's shirt and puts Cat's underwear on his head, you know.
Yeah, he
totally
was just being
pissed all the women
he
off.
Voted him, he voted himself out. People vote themselves out. As ridiculous as it sounds, people actually make the choice to be voted out next, because if he was actually thinking, and he seems like a brilliant but completely crazy man, he would think, okay, I'm with six women now. What do I do to just, like, fly under the radar and get through this next vote? It's definitely not put panties on your head and wear a girl's shirt. Like, it's
right,
definitely
no.
not that.
You
so
know,
he chose to be voted out.
I know.
For the first time last night, I saw somebody in Tarzan that seemed like he, you know, had some strategy and he was playing the game, but too little too late, don't you think?
Too late.
Well
yeah, you don't change your game at the six people left, seven people left. You keep your game going. You got that far with that game. Like, keep it going. Like, be quiet and be crazy. Like, that's what you do. Just keep it up. You start playing the game now and start saying, oh, I'm a strategist. Now, then people are going to be like, oh, wait a second, hold on. Who is this guy really?
Yeah.
We don't want him around. He's dangerous.
All right. I need to ask, I've been holding back in questions. I'm sorry, Cherry, but I need to ask your opinion on Alicia's seeming delusion of how she is
of grandeur. Okay, anybody that says five times in a row, I'm the mind behind this. I'm the master. I'm in control.
I'm in charge
of this
game.
Anyone that has to say all of that is definitely not the person that is. Like, if you have to say that repeatedly, then you are definitely not the person in charge. Because the second you say that, that's the second you lose all control. So she's crazy, and I wish she would have gone, like, in the first 20 days, but it didn't happen. Like, she just annoys me to watch. Kim, at least, is like,
me
okay,
too,
doing my best. I got to take care of this. I got to do that. And as jealous as I am of Kim right now, like, she's playing a great game.
I don't
all
know
right,
why
somebody,
Kim took Alicia right under her wing. As soon as Alicia came back, her and Alicia just, like, clicked back up, and I was just like, why, Kim? Why take Alicia back under your wing of all people?
Well,
why?
No, but it was the numbers. It's not Alicia. It's not a name. It's a number. She's a number that she has to have to put her in the final ring. It's not the fact that it's Alicia or that it's not the fact of the person. It's the number. And she's adding together numbers. And right now, Alicia is a number for her. And she wants to keep Alicia in line to add up $2 million, and she's doing a great job of it. Kim's playing an excellent game.
She is playing an excellent game. That's
all right,
for sure.
I need
and she's
to,
playing
I
both,
need to tell, I'm
both
sorry,
sides right now.
No, I just was going to address our chatters and listeners that we had to start an hour early, so the podcast will be available. But Coach found out that he had to conduct his youth symphony orchestra tonight an hour earlier than he originally thought. So that's why we started an hour early. That was just for our listeners. Go ahead, you two.
The podcast will be available probably within 15 minutes after the show ends. You can go back, and I'll be posting the widget on my Facebook page, Coach's Facebook page, the Red Reality Facebook page, all the usual places, so if you want to listen to the full podcast, it will be available just after the show ends. I think that if Kim can get past this next vote, she
what
has
do you mean,
the idol.
Of course she will.
She will.
Of course she will. She definitely will.
She's got to get...
I mean, I don't understand why Christine is even still in the game except for the fact that she's nothing but a pawn. Like, it's
right.
Nice to have a little pawn to go knock out the queen every now and again. But Christina is a waste of space in this portion of the game. I mean,
yeah.
I guess she'd be great to be sitting next to in the final three or final two, however it turns out. Like, she'd be great to sit next to. It's like, are you kidding me? This woman doesn't even realize that she's playing Survivor right now.
It's
she has
not
no
the
idea
next vote that worries
actually
me.
In Survivor.
It's the vote,
you know,
after that where she can't use, she doesn't have her immunity anymore that concerns me. If they all decide to turn on her, if they would find out that she's been playing both sides, that's what scares me.
Yeah, somebody in the chat room kind of addressed that. How is it that they figured out Tarzan was playing both sides, but they can't figure that out about Kim? I think some of them have an inkling, but somehow she's able to...
No, this is obvious. It's because they want to believe in Kim. They don't want to believe in Tarzan. Like, the girls want to believe that it is girl power. The girls want to believe that sweet Kim with the angel eyes that everybody's been saying, oh, her angelic eyes, her blue eyes. Like, they all want to believe that Kim is supporting them. They could care less if Tarzan's supporting them. He's crazy. He's a complete nut job. They want to believe that this sweet, long-haired, pretty girl is supporting them. And
right.
That's what they want to believe, so they feed into that. They lead down that. And everything that she's been feeding back to him is, yes, of course I believe in you. Yes, of course I want you with me. Like, she is the powerhouse right now, 100%.
So who do you see in the final three?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, what makes sense is Chelsea and Kim. What would be fun is to see Chelsea, Kim, and Alicia, just because it's ridiculous. But Chelsea, definitely Chelsea, Kim, and Sabrina. I think it's going to be Chelsea, Kim, and Sabrina. Sabrina has a chance. Like Kim says, she's the scariest one because she can speak. She has a great mind about her, and she knows how to articulate how she's feeling and what's going on. And, like, yeah, Kim's been running this, but you know what? I've let her do that. I've let her sit in the hot seat. I've just sat here and played my own strategic game very quietly, very gently, and I've offended no one, and I've pissed off no one. Kat's feelings are so hurt right now, she can barely breathe. It has nothing to do with Sabrina. And it really does make a difference who's sitting back at Ponderosa chatting up the game, because I can tell you, everybody chatting up the game in Vanuatu, I knew right away Chris was winning. And I didn't even try to sway the votes because Twyla screwed me over so bad. I love the girl. She's amazing. I love Twyla. But I didn't try and sway the votes. But people in Ponderosa, it does make a difference. Like, Kat sitting there so upset, her feelings hurt. Like, my good friend, someone that I love very much, because you end up falling in love with your castmates. It just happens. You rely on them 100%. Like, Kat is genuinely, like, hurt by what Kim did.
Oh.
And it's going to affect all the people around her at Ponderosa.
Now,
and Sabrina's done nothing.
You talk about how you love your castmates. You've been on two seasons. Are you close with both your seasons, all of the people, some of the people? Who do you really keep in touch with mostly?
Oh, God. I'm very, very close with Johnny Fairplay. Eliza is one of my dearest friends in all the world. Julie Berry, I love very much.
I have to talk about Eliza. I mean, did you see what she did a couple weekends ago? And if you talk with her, has she recovered?
She got a staph infection, and she is recovering. But I know she had a really rough go. That was a very, very hard race for her, and I celebrate her for putting herself in that position. But, yeah, she got a little bit more than she expected. I mean, she wrecked, and then she got a staph infection in her leg, which – staph infections are yucky. It's like the dirtiest thing you can get. So
hey,
I know she's recovering.
Before we lose him, this is kind of a special treat. We have somebody that popped onto our switchboard that is all the way down in Brazil.
Ooh.
Would you like to talk with Leonardo?
I would love to talk with Leonardo.
Let's bring him on. Leonardo, thank you so much for calling Dragon Slayer Radio.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Leonardo, we can hear you.
Last week, I was on RGV Zone. I don't know if y'all remember.
I was not there, Leonardo.
And I just gotta say that Amy had me cracking the F up. Her stories are so funny. I was laughing my head off when she was talking about her poop story on Survivor.
Oh, you have no idea. Poop stories on Survivor are ridiculous. You don't realize how uncomfortable and how interesting and how communal poop becomes until you do Survivor. And it's like, well, now we have to do this. Shall we do it together or shall we do it separate? Yes, poop stories. Yeah. Thank you, Leonardo, for appreciating that because it's very embarrassing.
I can't imagine. And let me just ask you a question. How do you think Kim is perceived as a good player?
I think Kim is one of the best players up until this point. Like, I would relate Kim to Parvati because Parvati, everyone loves her. Like, when you play the game with Parvati, she's just this bubbly, happy, playful girl that you want to hang out with. She's like the cool kid at school. She, like, plays silly little games, and she, like, includes everyone, and she's fabulous. And they kind of get the same sense from Kim. Everybody loves her. Everybody wants to be part of her group. Like, definitely the cool kid syndrome. It's like, wow, I want to hang out with her. I mean, she actually, like, cares about me, and I feel like Kim's the same way. So I think Kim is a great player.
Hey, Amy, let me ask you another question. Do you think Parvati should have won Heroes versus Villains?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I can't really say who should win a season unless I'm there. And I know she definitely earned, with Fans versus Favorites, she definitely earned it. Like, she definitely very, very, very strategically played that game, and she did a great job. She definitely earned it. I can't say who deserves to win a game unless I'm in it.
Yeah, I think the thing with Parvati is that she had a bigger target on her back when she went on Survivor Heroes versus Villains, as opposed to just Sandra, who plays a under-the-radar game, under-the-radar kind of game. So I think that's the thing with Parvati. And the edit showed that Parvati busted her ass off, and Sandra just kind of laid this entire game.
Leonardo, your voice is sort of breaking up there. You're on Skype, and it's sort of going in and out.
Let me say
Leonardo,
really quick the difference.
No, go ahead and answer. I was just going to say thanks for his call, but go ahead and answer that, Amy.
So I would say the difference between Parvati and Sandra is that Parvati is more of a threat because she's this, like, gorgeous, young, vibrant girl. And it's like the other women, I knew she was the first person I wanted to get rid of when I was in Fans versus Favorites. Same with Dolly. It's like you get rid of the hot, bubbly, sweet young girl because the guys are going to follow her immediately. And she has this endearing quality that even the girls want to follow her. So it's like, get rid of her. Like, get her out of this game. With Sandra, it's just like, you're just a cool chick to hang out with. I'm not even thinking about your sexual appeal. I'm not thinking about, like, that part of the game for you. I'm just thinking, like, you're a cool, honest girl who says shit that I didn't even know I was thinking, but I was thinking. That's how Sandra is. And it's just, like, completely different gameplay. With Parvati, you see it right away. She's adorable. She's lovely. She's sexy. With Sandra, she's just awesome, and she's funny, and she's, like, endearing, and you want to be around her. So you don't think she is so under the radar. You don't think, oh, well, she's so smoking hot, everybody's going to want to follow her around. You just think, well, she's super cool. I want to follow her around. And that's the difference between the two of them. She's just blatantly honest and super cool. Parvati is fun and sexy. So completely different gameplay. And so I think that's why Parvati didn't win Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, I can see that. I hope to see you again on Survivor in the near future. Because you are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Leonardo. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Call in again and talk to us soon, Leonardo.
Bye.
Take care, hon.
Bye. How cool.
Yeah. We don't get many calls from Brazil.
Well, I've got, it's crazy because from South America and from like Jerusalem, I have some of the greatest fans. Like on my Facebook page, I have so many international fans that are just super kind, super supportive, really good people. So I feel kind of blessed in the international realm. And Australia celebrates too. I love Australia. They are really strong, strong watchers. And in fact, Australia is the reason why I ever did Survivor. I have an Australian cousin. I'd never heard of Survivor, and somehow I got in the mix, and my cousin, who I love more than anything, she's like, oh my God, Aim, my whole family watched Survivor Tuesday night. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. And it was because of her that I actually
you imitate
did
that
Survivor.
So well.
I don't know if the Australians would say that, but thank you. But Australia is the reason why I did Survivor. So, like, my international fans are by far, like, top-notch with me. They are super supportive and love them.
Amy, you talked about Facebook and your followers. I did notice that you do have at least one that I noticed, a Big Brother Facebook friend in Jen DiTerno. Are you a Big Brother fan, or did you meet her at one of the events, or how did that happen?
Well, I have to tell you, I don't have television. I don't have a smartphone. I don't have a computer. So everyone I meet through charitable events. And I met, like, what's his name, Crazy Dick? I met him through a charity event, or Mean Dick, or whatever his name is. I love him.
Evil Dick.
Yes. And what's the guy who won, the young guy? What's his name, the young guy who won, really cute guy, super sweet. He was in Houston. We did a charity event. I meet everyone through charity events. And that's one of my favorite things about doing Survivor is the fact that I've gotten to do so many amazing charity events. I got to go to Japan last year and do
amazing.
A Goodwill tour where we got to go around and say thank you to all of our troops in Japan and just say thank you for the sacrifices you made. Thank you for your children who have a choice of one best friend because there's only like six kids on this entire base that they can be friends with. And
gosh.
That's the sacrifice that they're making for our country, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had to actually, because my dad was a Top Gun fighter pilot in the Marine Corps, and I got to go to the bases that he lived at with my mother, and it was just one of the best experiences ever, and I wouldn't have had that without Survivor, and so I'd say the charitable events after Survivor have been the best experience from Survivor.
That is amazing, Amy. I can't imagine doing that. That had to touch your heart in so many ways.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
that
and I got to do it with the best people. Sandra was there, Big Tom was there, James was there,
Johnny Fairplay
was there. Like, just I got to travel with people that I look up to so much, and I got to see, like, Sandra's husband is in the military. Like, I got to see their appreciation at a level that I got, and it was amazing. It was amazing to go and talk to the kids and talk to the families and just let them know that we know they're there and we care. It was a really amazing experience.
Have you gone down to Celebration Florida?
I haven't done that one, no. I've kind of been out of the loop because I've been traveling. I moved to St. Thomas for a year, so I stopped doing any of the charity events. Yeah. It's like, wait, Survivor every day, all day, playing on the beach and taking people on adventure tours and really good experience. But I've been kind of out of the loop, but I'm getting back into it. I'm definitely getting back into it.
Yeah,
I'm hoping
Houston
to go to that one this year in Celebration, Florida. It's for children who are terminally ill and their entire families. And it's a lot of Survivor people, but some Big Brother people as well. And I think it's in July, little bitty town right outside of Orlando, Florida, and they just do amazing things. Like, the children get a gift each day, and if one of Coach's friends was telling me that if the children that has a terminal illness, if they have brothers and sisters, they come too, and all of the kids get a gift each day. And they treat everyone for free. All their food is paid for. Everything they do, they go to all the Orlando Gardens, Busch Gardens, Disney World, all of that is all paid for. Just amazing times for kids who are really very ill. And Brenda Porter was telling me about it. She's been a couple times, I think. And just one of the events that I really want to go to and it just be a part of it. It sounds like it's such an amazing event.
I would love to be part of that. Whoever's in charge of that, if you're listening, I would love to be part of that. Like, I will give my 100% to events like that. I will sign everything, do anything, hang out with. I love stuff like that. And when I'm at an event like that, I give everything I have.
Have you been to Jillian's event?
Where's Jillian's event?
In Temecula, Reality Rally, Jillian Larson from Gabon.
Jillian. I love Jillian. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
That's one thing that's really great about Survivor, too, is doing Survivor. Like, I have really met some of the best people, like some of the most caring, kind people I've ever met in my life.
They seem to have cast some really, really good people on Survivor, I have to say.
You were on with Alexis, weren't you?
Alexis was Fans versus Favorites in Palau, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on this show a couple years ago and I was very impressed with her. And when she said she does motivational speaking, I go, perfect. It's a perfect fit for her.
Alexis does a charity program called I'm That Girl. And she goes and speaks to young girls and encourages them to be everything that they possibly can be. I support her so much. Alexis does something for other people every single day of her life. That girl is so inspirational and so uplifting and so kind. I have never met someone that says something positive about everything that she does on a daily basis. That girl is amazing. Like, I love Alexis so much. If she called me tomorrow and said, you need to be on a plane to China tomorrow and we're going to go work in an orphanage and you can't bring anything and know it's going to be really tough and it's going to suck, but we're going to do everything we can to help these people, I would do it. She is such a bright person and such a good person. I have a lot of respect for her, and she's so young. She's a definite bright spot. There's different kinds of survivors. There's the survivors that have their own big life besides Survivor, and then there's survivors that create a life from Survivor, and both have legitimacy on both sides. But I really, really appreciate being around the people that have this great life before, after, and during Survivor and keep going. And it's not just Survivor. It's like, I've got so much going on. I have so much to give. And thank you for giving me that extra pedestal to give back with. And that's Alexis. Alexis does that again and again.
Well, this show has been on for a number of years. I've been part of or listening to this show for a long time. And the time that she came on was one of my more favorite shows, and I'm so glad to hear you so put it so well of the type of person she is and what she does, because I 100% agree with that.
You get that just from talking to her for an hour. She is a brilliant woman. Any man that ends up with Alexis is going to have to be one hell of a man, but he will be the luckiest man.
There seems to be so many that come out of Survivor, though, that give back so much. And I don't know what going out there on Survivor does to people, but they seem to come back really, really wanting to give back and be something greater than, you know, what they went out there as. And really come back being charitable and giving back and using their celebrity status, so to speak, you know, to really do charitable work. And, you know, Jillian talks about how, you know, she wasn't on the show long, but she used those weeks to plan Reality Rally, and it has grown so big in 2 years. that now she has other cities who are wanting to, you know, have reality rallies in their towns, and she's going to other
Definitely.
Cities and trying to establish reality rallies in other cities now. And it's just amazing what that woman has done in a matter of 2 years. She has over like 500 people volunteering for that one event, and she works on it year-round. And just the magnitude of what she has done in such a short time span just blows me away.
Yep. It does me
well,
as well.
Well, I think that's a lot to do with the fans. The fans are super supportive. Like, our fans, Survivor fans, are dedicated and there. When you go to events, it's the same group of people just, like, celebrating and supporting what we're doing. And I have to say I owe it all to the fans to be able to do the charity events that I've done. But it's also the casting people. You go through, oh, my God, the most rigorous casting. It's like you spend 10 days in a hotel room by yourself, and you can't come out unless they call you and they say, okay, you have to come to room 452 in a bikini right now. Sprint, go. And you just throw in a bikini and go. And they test you, and they try and make you cry, and they put you through everything. So casting has a lot to do with putting amazing people in the spotlight. But it's what people do once they're in the spotlight and once what they do with what you're given. And when I was out doing Survivor, I have to tell you, I thought a lot about women in Africa. I thought a lot about that woman that has to walk 5 miles one direction just to get water for her children. Just water, not food, just water. And then walk 5 miles back to make sure her children have water. And I thought a lot about our military, the training that they go through to, like, protect our country and take care of our country. It's like what I was doing was nothing. Like, I had people watching over me. I had people there that would save my life if I thought I was going to die. And there were moments I thought I was going to die, but there were people watching out for me. There are women in Africa. There are men in Africa. There are people everywhere that are suffering every day. And I'm like, this is a walk in the park compared to what people are going through on a daily basis. So there were so many things that helped me, like, realize how lucky I was, how my moment was so minuscule compared to what people are going through on a daily basis. And I think it's the people that realize that, that take the charity to a whole nother level. Like Jillian, like, she really gets it. She really gets what she's been given, and she has taken it to the next level. And she deserves so much celebration for that, because she has taken advantage of it and really helped a lot of people with that.
She sure has. You know, and breast cancer has really taken a lot of, you know, not just women's lives, but men's lives as well. And she knows, I believe there's 3 people that her charity is memorialized after, and she knew them personally, and
there's Jen Lyons from Survivor.
Jen Lyons, she's like one of the most beautiful shining lights I've ever met in my life. And
tragedy.
What touches me the most is her Christmas tree, her Christmas tree stand. Like, she knew she was on a downhill battle, and she's like, I just want to be around people that are celebrating life. And that woman, she is a light in my everyday. That woman is such an inspiration and beautiful until the very last second she took a breath. Like, such a good woman.
It's so sad that breast cancer can do that. Yet, you know, in today's world, they still haven't found a cure. And Jillian is, you know, donating money to that cause and to people who can't afford to go and get tested. And if you catch it early enough, they can do something. And that means the difference between whether you live or die.
A child having a mother or not.
Right. I mean,
that
means so much.
That is the difference in somebody growing up with a mom or not, or a husband having the woman that he loves for the rest of his life. Or, yeah, it means everything.
So Amy, I'm sorry.
It's just the work she's doing, there's no way to judge or rule, you know, the magnitude of what she's doing. There's no way to actually, you know, put a limit to it.
No, she's making an impact. She's
right.
making an impact that most people only dream of. She is
right.
actually making a change in how things are done. She's actually making a change in people's lives, which people lay in bed and that's what they want to do. Like, they're like, Pat, I know I have a bigger purpose than this. And they know it. They feel it. They know that that's why they're here, but they just don't know how to like express that. And Jillian has figured out how to express that. And Survivor has helped her. And Survivor's a fun game. Survivor's an amazing game, but it's so much more than that. It is a key to making a difference in other people's lives. And
she's a go-getter. She really is. She enjoys
yeah.
everything she does. She really does enjoy it.
Amy, I want to thank you so much for all the time. You don't have to leave, but it's just I just know you've been on a long time, and I have so enjoyed talking with you. I'm curious about what's new in your career right now or what you're doing.
Oh, gosh. I'm in Denver right now, and I somehow got involved in the coffee business, which I've always loved, but the thing I love about it is connecting with people. I have worked in the same coffee shop for almost 9.5 years, and what I love about it so much is every day you get a chance to touch every spectrum of life. Homeless people come in, the governor of Colorado comes in, businessmen, housewives. Like, coffee shops are a meeting and a joining place for people to connect, and that's something that I've always loved. And I've put on the morning show, and I've wished every person that has had an encounter with me the best day of their life. Because really, what else do we have? We have today. This is it. And I just want every person I see to know that I'm having the best day of my life, and I challenge you to do the same. And in Denver, I've been approached again and again, like, come start our coffee program, come start our help our coffee shop. I now work at a place called Crave. And it's a dessert bar, and it's the same thing. These people came and found me, and they said, hey, come and work for us. We love your energy, and come and play with us. And that's really what my life is about now, like helping people understand, like, the start of your day. The start of your day is where you make that decision. Are you going to have the greatest day of your life, or are you just going to have a day like everyone else has? Are you going to go to work and then go home and then take off your shoes and then watch TV? And that's not me. That's not what I get. That's not what I love. Like, I'm passionate about every day I get to breathe. Every single day that I get to take a breath, I'm passionate about that day. And so that's the kind of love that I want to spread every day. And I'm lucky enough that people see that in me, and they want to share that with me. So right now I'm in Denver doing that, and one of my other passions is traveling, because I feel like every time you travel, you get to relate to someone on a different level that you don't understand, and you get to learn more about how you can be. And when I travel, I realize what I can do with and what I can do without. And I'm kind of looking forward to a next big travel adventure. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but it's like letting go of all my personal belongings, all my physical things, and going and meeting people. Because people in my life are what make me breathe. People in my life are what make me passionate. And that's my next adventure, is figuring out the people that I want to interact with, the people that I want to learn from. So I'm in Colorado. I'm just kind of like letting the next adventure show itself to me. And right now it's coffee, and I didn't realize how much of a connection coffee is with people, but it's like a ritual. It's like a celebration for people every day, and
I
feel pretty lucky that I just ended up in that.
I'm sitting here wondering if my niece lives out in Denver, and so I'm sitting here wondering, I wonder if she's ever popped in there and that. Now, I found it interesting that you were one of the original employees of EAS, and obviously that's exploded. Did you benefit at all from that or no?
EAS was a passion of mine because Bill Phillips, who started EAS, great man, went to Golden High School where I went, and he challenged people to take control of the one thing that they have in their life, and it's their selves. It's their physical being. If there's only one, there's like one small circle in this world that you have control of. If you take control of that one small circle, the circle becomes bigger of what you're capable of doing. And he challenged people to take control of that small circle. And I loved being part of that, like going in and just like poking people and saying, like, what are you doing? You have the control to take of your physical being. What are you doing about that? And we got to fly around the country and in private jets and tell people, like, congratulations for taking the challenge. Like, Lynn Lingenfelter, he had AIDS. He got AIDS from a blood transfusion. He took on the challenge of the EAS challenge, and he got in the best shape of his life. When the early stages of AIDS, when AIDS was, like, unknown and really scary, he took control of it, and he built muscle, and he got in shape, and he became this beautiful man, and he like, overcame what life had given him, and he said, no, I'm taking control of that small circle that I have control over, and I'm going to do something with it. And it was such an inspiration, and we sold it, gosh, 97, 98. I got a little piece of that, but it was a personal passion that, like, I was in love with Bill Phillips at the time, and he and I had built it together, and we were falling apart as we were selling the company. So I just walked away gracefully. I didn't ask for anything. I didn't demand anything. I just said, you know what? I did what I was supposed to do here, and I'm walking away. And I probably could have walked away with a lot more than I did. But that wasn't that wasn't my place. That wasn't in my heart. My heart was, I did what I was supposed to do here, next chapter in my life. Like, I've had nothing but great things in my life. And even my little brother being killed by a drunk driver, like, that has given me a passion for life that I didn't know I could have. And
well,
super hard on my family.
That touches me personally, too, because this June I will be 25 years clean and sober, and I thank God that I did find the sobriety, and I also thank God that I never did kill anybody when I was driving drunk. And
I took my father as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I send so much love to you guys. It touches all of us. Like, I don't know many people that haven't said to me, oh, well, I feel you. Like, I went to Australia and I met a guy. His little brother was killed on his vineyard. And he was like, it wasn't a drunk driver. It was just like the connection that has created for me has empowered me. So even like the hardest times, the worst things in my life have become these great things. And that's why walking away from EAS wasn't hard for me. It's like it all turns into something beautiful if you let it. There are no mistakes. There's only building grounds for beautiful things. Like make a mistake and make a more beautiful picture out of it. It's possible. It is the truth. And my life has proved that again and again. And Survivor's just been part of that. Like I left EAS and I did Survivor. And I've traveled around the world, like even before Survivor. Like I did Playboy, which was a fun experience. I traveled for 4 years of my life because of EAS. Just traveled. Forget college. I'm just going to travel. And that taught me relation to other human beings that didn't have the same life experience I had. And I think any situation can be turned into a learning and a beautiful experience if you let it.
Now, I hear your passion for travel, and I hear you're waiting your next, you know, great, you know, journey. I don't know if you've talked with Poverty at all about what her experience was with the Around the World for Free. Is that something, if you're familiar with it, that you would consider doing?
I appreciate what she's done. Not really my thing. To me, I got approached for a show called The Ugly American, and it was about going into situations around the country and first going in as an ugly American, saying, I demand it like this, this is how Americans have it, this is how I want it. And then going in 2 days later and being like, show me your ways, show me your culture, show me your food, show me, like, your passion. And that really touched me. Like, teaching Americans how to, like, be with other cultures, how to be with other ways of being, how to go into a village and be part of it, get the experience, not demand what you're used to, because you lose the experience when you demand your own ways. And I think the biggest thing that taught me that was when we were in Vanuatu and I got to spend the night with a tribe. Eliza and I had one of the most beautiful experiences I've had in my life. There was one girl in the entire tribe that spoke English. I held her hand all night. Her name was Alma, and she told me what everybody was talking about. At the end of the experience, she told me they want to know if you'll stay forever. And I was just like, I cried. I was like, of course I want to stay forever. It's not in the script, but yes, I want to stay forever. I mean, Vanuatu has been voted one of the happiest places on the planet. They deal with their problems in a way that I haven't experienced here. Like, I saw a documentary on a woman whose husband cheated on her. She went into the jungle, ripped it apart, screamed and yelled and shook trees, and her dad made her husband go to another tribe and work off his penance for what he'd done and wouldn't let him back into the tribe until he'd done it. Like, they dealt with their shit. It was beautiful. And I think that is more my passion, is, like, really connecting people with mm-hmm. with understanding other cultures. I don't want things for free. I want to work for what I have. I want to work for the things that I get. And I want to understand why I'm getting them. And I appreciate Parvati's, like, ability to get pretty much anything she wants, because she can. She can do that. Like, I appreciate that. But that's not what I want. I want to educate people on what is available if you're willing to take the time, and that's more my passion.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, it's good to go and to give and not. I mean, it's that lesson we've always been told: it's better to give than receive. And it's kind of simple.
It's so simple. And I think it's even more than that. The giving part it comes after the understanding part. And I'm more about, like, the understanding. Once you understand someone, mm-hmm. then you know what to give. And until you understand them, you have nothing to give. Like, give all you want, but you might not be giving what they really need. And I think sometimes the giving part is just, like, being quiet and understanding. Mm-hmm. And like, really understanding where someone else comes from, what their background is, how they were treated growing up. Like, Survivor, that's another thing Survivor taught me, is to really watch every little move that people make, how they feel in a situation, how everyone's fitting in, their body language, how they look at each other, how they speak to each other. If someone's feeling left out, oh my God, it kills me. If I see mm-hmm. someone that's, like, not being included or is feeling, like, pushed out, that's where I'm like, hold on, you're still part of the group. Come on in. At least that's what I hope mm-hmm. I'm giving out. Who knows? I'm sure there's somebody out there going, oh, that she has no idea. She is such a wench. But that, like, to me, I really, that's the thing that I have gotten from Survivor, is you really pay attention to everybody's little quirks and everybody's little movements and how they feel in a situation.
It's so nice of you to include those people, though, because so many people in the world do feel that way, feel like, you know, they're not included, or they're not quite fitting in, and to have the heart to reach out and include them or to bring them in, that's just probably one of the kindest things you can do.
That's the first thing I thought about, was the terrible plague we have with bullying, you know?
Exactly.
Those
with what?
Targets.
Bullying.
Bullying, yeah. But I have to tell you, I was one of those kids. I was one of those kids that bullied other kids. I was one of those. I was the biggest, strongest girl in school. And the thing that taught me not to do that anymore, like, the most amazing principal in my life, he was in my high school. I made this girl push a penny down the hall with her nose. That's what we did. We're seniors, you're freshmen. Get a penny on the floor, push it with your nose. And I made her do it. And the principal pulled me into the office, and he goes, all right, Amy, you're that cool? You're that good? All right, fine. You are now a peer counselor, and your first person you're going to peer counsel is that girl that you pushed the penny. I ended up sitting and talking to her for 4 hours. She lived at home with her father. Her mother had died 2 years ago. Her father was pretty much physically, like, taking control of her life. And she, like, opened up to me about what was going on at home, and I was just like, oh, my God. I didn't even think about your life. I didn't even think about what was going on for you. I just picked you out of the hallway and made you push that penny and you should do it because I'm older than you. I didn't take for 1 second into thought what she was going through in her life. And that principal taught me so much. Bullying, it kills me because usually those kids pick on the kids that are the weakest. And why they're the weakest is because things are going on in their life.
Yep.
And if you take 2 seconds to, like, have compassion for those people, like, I hugged that girl and I cried with her.
Aww.
And I apologized to her over and over and over again because how is that to the one place you feel like, okay, I can get away from my life and go to school and be with my friends, and then you have someone come and, like, be completely demeaning to you? It was horrific, the feeling that I had after I knew that I'd done that to her. So, yeah, bullying, I have no tolerance, and, yeah.
Amy, I have to tell you, we have a chat room attached to our show, and many of our guests in our chat room tonight are telling us what a great show this is and how much they love you and what a great guest you've been tonight. So I have to let you know that everyone in our chat room is just loving you tonight.
Aw, thank you.
Well, yes,
I really am thankful you guys had me on. This has been really fun.
We've enjoyed it greatly, and so has everyone in our chat room, and our listeners out there have really enjoyed everything that you've shared with us. It's been a wonderful night with you. I can't thank you enough for staying after Coach left and just chatting with us. It's been great.
I agree. I feel blessed to have learned more about Amy Cusack tonight, and you've got a bigger fan in me now than ever before, and that's what I enjoy about these shows. And we do a lot of these shows, and we have a lot of guests on, but you're the cream of the crop.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I know that.
Stop it. Well, one thing I have to say about Parvati before we go is Parvati is one of those people that does make everyone feel included, and I think that's why she won, because she like really makes you feel like she cares about you and wants you to be safe and feel good, and she doesn't belittle anyone, and that is one thing that I absolutely loved about her. Even when I thought that she wanted to vote me out, I still felt like she cared about me, and that was one thing that I loved about Parvati's game. She was never mean or hurtful. Like when little gay boy was just being flat out mean.
Colton, yeah.
Colton, yeah, when he and Sabrina, that was just
Alicia.
Being like flat out, Alicia, it was Alicia. When Alicia and Colton were just being flat out mean to Christina, it was just like, why?
Oh.
Like, why? Why would you do that? Like, why?
Right.
Is there something so horrible inside of you, horrible inside of you that you have to take that out on someone else and make them feel that bad? It's like,
it was
I just
so
wanted
mean
to hug
Christina.
Colton and be like, honey. It was Christina, yeah. I just wanted to hug Colton and be like, tell me what it is. Like, tell me what's happened to you that you find it necessary to be that evil to another person. Like, that downright evil. And I loved him. Like, I loved him because he was a fun character and he was, like, interesting and ridiculous and had his own opinion and he came from his own place. And, like, I celebrate who he is. But just to be flat-out mean to someone, it just doesn't make sense. Like, something bad and awful has happened to that man for him to be that way. And Sabrina just jump on board was just like, what?
I will say this, Amy, and we're going to have to let you go here soon because we're running out of time, but I will say this. I think one thing is I got an impression that he might be somewhat sheltered. He is still quite young, and hopefully all of this that has happened has caused him to grow up, much like your principal did for you in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm always hopeful that people learn from, you know, what may be a negative experience and grow from it.
Life has its lessons that, you know, they all teach us something, and that's what life is about. And hopefully you learn from those lessons and grow from them and learn what you're supposed to learn from them. And I think in reading some of his tweets on Twitter, I think he has learned a lot from what he did.
Well, I think you get
Survivor.
you get a lot of reflection from the people that have been watching you. You get a lot of reflection of who you are. And whether it's people going like, oh, yeah, fuck those people, oh, they suck, everybody. You're like, wow, is that really what I was saying? Or how could you? Why would you? You're disgusting. Like, you start to have a lot of inner reflection, and you kind of get it. And with that many people, like, putting it in your face, you hope.
Right.
And if he doesn't get it, you know what? He doesn't get it. In retrospect, it doesn't matter. We're all here supporting each other, and all I can do is support him. But God, I hope he learned a little bit from it.
I agree, Amy. Anytime you want to grace us with your presence here again, we'd love it.
Yeah, if you're ever
Thank
doing
you so
any,
much for having me.
If you're doing any reality. Promotion, if you're doing any events that you want to promote, anything that you would like to promote, you're always welcome to come back on any of our shows here on the Rad Reality Show, and we will always open our airwaves to you. You are welcome on any of our shows. Come back and join us anytime. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much. Tonight was a really good time, and I appreciate you having me.
We've enjoyed it so much, Amy. Thank you so much for talking with us and being so open about everything. And you have a wonderful night, and I wish you all the best on your journey. You take care, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
All right. Lots of love to you guys. Good night.
Good night, hon.
Night,
take care.
Amy.
Wow, what a great guest. I had no idea that
I didn't either.
Be blessed to have her stay on with us that long, but what a beautiful gal she is.
Yes. Well, Jerry, I know there's some items that you want to, newsy items you would like to touch on as we're running out of time here. So, yes, I will echo what a fun show that was and throw it to you for
yes,
stuff you want to talk.
Everyone knows Luis Trovato, and we'd like to request some prayers for his sister. His sister is in the hospital with blood clots in her legs and in her lungs, and we understand that we hope that this is treatable, but we do want to ask all of our Rad Reality family that you say prayers for Luis' sister. We know that he's gone through a lot recently with the passing
yes.
of his father. And I know this is really hard for Louis.
Oh.
So please keep Louis in your prayers. And our dear friend Phil, who is with us tonight in the chat room, we know that you're going through a lot tonight. You have been going through a lot as well with your surgery. And we're so glad that you're here with us tonight. But we want to say prayers for Phil as well.
Congratulations to Madison. I mean to Laura.
To Laura, big brother Laura, who just had a baby, Madison. It looks like she is one healthy little girl.
Oh, I
She's
love the
She's a
name
big girl.
Yeah.
We have
the shows scheduled way ahead of time, and if you've seen that there's a show scheduled for Sunday, just disregard that. We will be canceling that, so the next show will be on Manic Monday, right?
Yes, the next show will be Manic Monday. The switchboard does put out some automatic tweets, and it's hard for us to stop those, so if you see some tweets... There is not a show on Sunday. The next show is on Manic Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And then we'll be back here on Thursday for the finale of Survivor. So we'll be watching the finale of Survivor on Sunday, and we'll be wrapping up Dragon Slayer Radio finale on Thursday. So we hope all will.
Can we tease them with possible guests? I mean, these aren't locked in stone, but for next Thursday, can I say it with?
Sure, go ahead.
David Murphy from Survivor Redemption Island, and Lee Sarge Masters from Vanuatu could very well be joining Coach. And as we found out, Sherry, there could be others.
There could be others. You never know what could happen on Dragon Slayer Radio. So be here next Thursday for the finale of Dragon Slayer Radio for the season, and Coach will be back with us next season as well with a bigger and better Dragon Slayer Radio, I might add. But we do want to make sure you'll join us for Manic Monday with Michelle Costa, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and join Chi-Town Joe on Seacoast International Radio on Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern for his show as well. We're going to close this one down, but please do remember Louie in your prayers. My heart just breaks for Louie right now. I just learned of this information just before we came on air, and I'm so worried about his sister and him. His family has gone through so much, and I just hope that everything is okay with his sister. So keep everyone in your prayers, folks, and be kind to one another. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. For those of you that didn't see the post early enough and you didn't hear the beginning of the show, the podcast will be available soon. I'll post the widgets very quickly. Thank you for being here. Here's Ron.
So thank you guys for stopping in. I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. But, you know, I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality, people, that, you know, I do this for you guys. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight. And I appreciate everyone. I appreciate everyone. I'm going to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other. We'll see you soon.
Good night,
everyone.